Hi, my name is Mithail Ali. I'm from Sharjah, the UAE, and I would consider myself an influencer and a very creative entrepreneur.
I'm Michelle Schifaletti, and you're listening to Thaqafat. Social media influencer marketing has become a global phenomenon. The Arabian Gulf is no exception. With some of the first Gulf influencers hailing from Kuwait, the industry is not just present, but thriving, locally, regionally, and internationally. Some influencers are on a quest to show that their platforms are true businesses, going above and beyond to create meaningful content. Dubai has served as a hub for many of these influencers. Born and bred in the United Arab Emirates, Mithail Al-Ali is ambitious and driven. At a young age, Mithail set up her own agency, Tahayyul, a creative marketing agency which specializes in social media advertisement and campaigns. She runs her life and her agency on the same concept, the idea that imagination can truly take you anywhere. Mithail, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So I want to first begin, there's a lot of different topics for us to discuss today, but I want to first begin by, why don't you share with us, what was your journey to get here?
Well, it was definitely an unpredictable journey. I never planned to be where I am. And I think this is the best part of it, because every day is a new surprise. Every day is a new opportunity. It was, I think, 7 years ago, where I was just a curious girl who studies media and wanted just to be, you know, using all the tools out there, Twitter, Instagram, and everything around that. And I started creating content without creating content being a thing. And it was very fun, a fun journey for me to discover that so many opportunities can come without even hunting them down in that sense. And I'm very blessed with everything that have been happening in my life now. And I still kind of try to find, you know, the right ways, the right direction to take every single day.
How do you feel like your upbringing in general, growing up in Sharjah, influence today what you do?
I think being from Sharjah, I don't know how much you know about Sharjah, but Sharjah is a very homey city. It's very, down to earth. People just, everyone knows everyone. And it's like a very small village, I would say, but it's not a village. So what I love most about the city, or what I really admire about the city, is how connected we feel with it. So it's not only about being connected to people, but also being connected to places, cultures, mm-hmm. Traditions that are very specific to Sharjah people. And being that, or growing up with that, made me kind of always perceived as the girl next door, the very basic, traditional, however, a very dreamy and ambitious kind of girl, which is, I think, sums up most of Sharjah girls, if I hope so.
Did you feel like you knew that you wanted to do something creative? Like, where do you think that came from in your life?
Definitely has a lot to do with Sharjah, because it's a very cultural city. Everything I used to do from a very, tender age, I used to discover and create and go to summer camps and try to learn new things. Like, I literally tried everything.
So what did you want to be when you were growing up?
Well, I had a really big imagination. I wanted to be so many things. But I think at some point I grew up wanting to either be a teacher, because I practiced that a lot with my little brother. and my mother was a role model. My mother was a teacher at some point. And I also thought I wanted to be in media and, be a presenter. By that time, there wasn't a lot of options, in media, you're a presenter. And I think I drifted more as a teenager to media. I always saw myself in either radio or TV. I never saw myself having my own. It wasn't a thing anyways. So being that, or having that, is like something I never predicted.
How do you describe your work? Let's say somebody, they're not familiar. What would you say you do? I come up to you at a random event and I say, hi, what do you do? What would your response be?
This would be the hardest question you'd ask me. So I try I create content. And in that sense, I try as much as I can to kind of reflect a very honest and authentic part of me. And this has evolved so much in so many years, like that I found my own company to be an entrepreneur and to find a place and a space where I can help and, you know, lift content creation's quality in this region. So this was my biggest purpose, because I always, yes, being a content creator, I'm also a consumer. And being a consumer makes me kind of realize how much we lack in this field and how much we want, you know, to take it to next level, and especially in this part of the region. So I opened Tahayel. Tahayel was a very, I think, a place for me to vent, have freedom, more freedom into creating content and helping content creators, highlighting artists, talking about people are, you know, brilliant in helping you creating content. I actually have clients of my own that I create content for. And this all, I would call it a movement, because Tahayel is not just a company. What I'm trying to do is basically, you know, take create content creation to a next level, especially when it comes to businesses.
In what way?
In a way where first we collaborate with a lot of creatives around. So we work with people who, you know, draw or design or make videos or good with music or good with editing videos. Any of these people who actually, you know, try to find an outlet for them to show their best work.
What challenges do you feel like content creators in the region exclusively face?
I think first of all is the wrong perspective or perception of them. Because if you say you're a content creator, because of the relatively vague quality of the content around, people would always think of it as a shallow job or as a job that you don't really, you know, you don't add much to the society. What kind of content can you create better than magazines or, you know, TV or something like that? I really think this is changing. The other part of it is what every creative in every part of the world face, where they want to be and become artists and become you know, something in the creative field, but it's not very an easy field to develop on or let's say, you know, make a living out of. So being or solving these two problems has been, I would call it a mission of Tahayel, where we get you to do your passion and you make a living out of it. And we also change the perception of content creation and make it even better than everyone ever imagined it to be.
How did you start the business? And when did you start it?
Okay, that's a very interesting story. So in 2014, I was just graduating. And I remember I had my last final exam. And I stayed all night studying for that. Content creation back then wasn't a thing. Influencers weren't a thing. And there wasn't really a business out of it. So I woke up with an epiphany thinking that I want to have an agency that manage influencers or that make influencers and that. So the opening of Tahayel was in 2014 or 15, and I opened Tahayel as an agency for influencer. 2 years later, I traveled and I lived in China for a year, and being away from the business and having no idea how business work and having zero background in managing a business is obviously kind of failed and went down. So after that year, I came back and I was like, I can learn. First of all, I can, you know, educate myself and learn. And I spent a year planning and changing what Tahayel means to me and what I want to do with this concept. Mm-hmm. And that year I had, you know, courses in business and finance and trying to understand how management work and how can I start a company and trying to, you know, put a business plan together. And a year later, I launched Tahayel as a new face, with a new idea. And I think I had to go through this failure in a way to be able to build that concept or build this concept in a better way, in a way that represents me more. Obviously, it was an interesting concept to manage talents, but it wasn't a passion of mine. My passion was more of in a creative field, in mm-hmm. some way where I can help people, in some way where I can, you know, put the best I can, the best energy I can into the place. And I think this is the best thing that ever happened to me. I had to go through this to come up with a better version of the Khaya.
Yeah, I feel like people look at success and they think she has a lot of followers, so she got it. People don't understand that, like, there's so much work and...
There is so much work, you have no idea. And there is so much that I'm still learning. And I still, you know, go wrong somewhere and then fix it. And then it's literally a whole different world of things that I need to learn, things I need to fix. The times that I restructured and updated the company profile since we started till now is like unbearable. It's not because I changed my mind, but because I had to develop it. And when you have a business, it's a baby, right? Mm-hmm. So you put literally everything you can into this business to be better, to, you know, to work with whatever is happening right now and to be the best into the market. And having this business running is probably one of the hardest things that I'm doing right now, but it's one of the best things that I put effort in, and I absolutely enjoy it.
So how many years has it been now since you're...
It's almost, with the new version, it's been 2 years.
So explain the name Cloud Walker.
Okay.
Where did this come from? Because I find it interesting. You have it in little pockets everywhere.
Yes.
What does this mean to you?
I think years ago, I was really obsessed with these words that you come up with, that the English words that are very unique. And in that sense, I remember going through one word that really catched my attention. It was Nifiblata, I believe. And this word meant a cloud walker, but the actual description of it was one who lives in the clouds of their own imagination or dreams, and one who does not obey to conventions of society, literature, or art.
Mm.
And it really resonated with me in so many levels. And I think it just became a part of me. It just became something that I would describe myself, I think back then. I don't know if I could describe it like this now, but back then it was a way of describing myself and finding myself in a word. And Cloud Walker was just, you know, my friends, it became a nickname. My friends used to, you know, save my names in their phones with that, and it became a thing. So
you identified with the word.
Yes. Yes, I did.
I want to talk about creating content.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, there's a lot of people that say, okay, well, an influencer or creating content or people who are on Instagram, it's not a real job, right? I'm sure you've heard this many times.
Of course, yeah.
What do you say to those people that say, okay, well, creating content is not a job?
Well, trust me when I say it's a job. And it's a 24/7 job that you can never get rid of. First of all, it's a huge responsibility because you're not just making something for your boss or for the company you work with. You're making something for a society. You're making something for the world to see. And whatever you put out there is 100% your responsibility. So the responsibility is much bigger than any other job. Two is the time. Because in a normal job, you would go to your office, do your work, leave the job, and then keep it there. With being a content creator is a 24/7 kind of bringing up ideas or thinking of what you should do next or creating the content every single day or making the best out of it or finding the best ways to put it or finding even the best time to post. Once you're a content creator, your life changes. Whether you planned it or not, it changes 100%. Your commitments change. Your time schedule will change. Your people that you know, the amount of people that you meet for the first time, the amount of people you engage with on a daily basis will change. And that makes it, I wouldn't say a hard job, but makes it a very passionate one. You would need or have to be passionate about it to sustain. And I think the passion comes from your purpose of doing this. And this is where people differ, or this is where content creators differ, I think. It's the core value of why are they doing what they're doing. And like any other job, if you're doing it for the money, if you're doing it for the trips or whatever it is, you would actually enjoy, but I don't think it will sustain as much as you're doing it for the actual need or value of change, or the actual ideas of wanting to create something out of this world or putting it out there. And that's where we can say that maybe it's not a job for someone who doesn't consider it a job. And maybe it is a job for someone who would. And people are different, and as much as content creators are different. So I understand this is a mainstream perspective, but I think it's changing first. I really think it's changing.
What do you think has contributed to those changes of now people maybe perceiving content creating and as more of a job in the creative field and less something that's kind of... shallow?
Yes, I think what contributed first is the number of people who've been involved. Mm. Back in the days when we started, I was one of the first Emiratis who actually had anything online, and that didn't really come on, you know, a golden plate. That wasn't a good thing. That wasn't considered a good thing. Being an Emirati in social media was not a good thing. So it wasn't something to brag about. And it came with a lot of shame, honestly. It came with a lot of, she's doing it, there's nothing wrong, but it feels wrong, kind of energy from everyone around me. And I think with time, it evolved because a lot of people have been, you know, aware of it, and the number of people who've been doing or taking this as a job has increased. And I think that kind of made a lot of people or the society as a whole kind of realize that, oh, this is actually a job. And more than that, I think it's also, it became an opportunity for a lot of people who actually done things, like artists who've been, you know, doing artworks for so long and never actually had a time to exhibit them, for example. And when people see that it's available now in your hand, it became something that they take seriously. Whether you're a musician or you're in a creative field or you're a fashion person, once they find the accessibility to these content easily, it became something that is, they actually approve of.
Yeah. How do you deal with stigma or people who are, because you're going to get a variety of comments when you have that large of a following and that large of a platform. How do you deal with that? But also, how does it feel to have, do you feel in a sense you have a responsibility because you have such a platform? Is there pressure, or is it not something that you really think about?
Honestly, I think it does come with a lot of pressure. Mm. And that's not because of the cliche of saying, you know, I have a lot of people watching what I put out there, and it's stressful. But it's also because I always feel that I'm obligated to reflect the authentic self and who I am really out there. And this comes with a lot of, you know, it comes with a cost. It comes with a lot of thinking, a lot of limits, honestly. And being able to do that has been something that I try to plan on a daily basis. Now, when it comes to stigma, I think with so many years in the field or with so many years with an account like this, you kind of get used to it. Mm-hmm. But you get more sensitive the more, how do I say this? I think I, on a personal level, I think I got more sensitive to any comments or to any, you know, judgment that I get. The more that I show something that is very authentic of me. Because when you put something out there that is fake and people would say something about it, you wouldn't even care, right? Because it wouldn't hit you. It wouldn't really hit the core. But the more you put something out of, you know, soul and heart into it, you know, trying to talk about an issue that you always wanted to talk about, or talking about a story that you faced in a part of your life, and then finding negative comments about that or people putting you down for it, it really hits the core because it came from a place where, you know, you're vulnerable. And that's why the pressure, honestly, has been increasing, because I've been working so hard to be more authentic on the page. So the more authentic I am, the more pressure I feel, the more sensitive I become. But I think it's also part of the journey. Like, I have to, you know, go through this uncomfortable phase in order for me to reach a phase where I will be more comfortable and settle in.
When you leave your company or when you finish creating content, what's the thing that really makes you satisfied?
Oh, there's a lot of things. Now, this definitely, the feeling that I always get after a very long day doing, you know, giving both of my jobs, because I consider them two full-time jobs, yeah? And coming back home after giving each and every job enough effort, I love the fact that I am able to create change, whatever it is, changing a thought, changing a perspective, adding a post in one of my clients' platform that, I don't know, get them one more follower, or make them, you know, any small change to big changes is something that makes me thrive. And this is why I absolutely enjoy what I'm doing. And I intend to work, like, whatever companies I'm going to be opening or whatever projects I be involved in, I always make sure that this making change is part of the plan.
It's what fulfills you.
Yes, exactly. And it actually, I think this is my main purpose into doing everything that I do. If I can change something positively, change something, and a very slight change to the biggest one is what makes me absolutely happy and makes everything worth it.
I mean, it's interesting. You have to love what you do, especially when it's time consuming and it's kind of consumed such a big part of your life. You have to love what you do, or it's not sustainable. You know, like you mentioned before, if people are just creating content for trips or for whatever purpose, it won't last.
Yeah, to be very honest with you, yes, it's a lot of passion that makes you, you know, want to do it. And it'll always sustain because you'll always go back to it. But you know, that does not mean that you don't need sometimes a break of it, that you want to be refreshed by being away from it, yeah. You know? And
it's hard because social media is something that, you know, you hear people doing like social media detoxes because, yes. You know, even if you're checking your email, you get notification of something else, or, I mean, it's something that is such an like integral part of our lives now. It's just,
exactly.
It's habit almost.
Exactly. It's not all, it is habit, and but it's more of, it's a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
It became part of living.
Yes.
It's as much as food is important. And with someone who, her job is in social media, being away from that job and being away from social media has become two different things that I need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think this is one of the things that made or makes my account evolve into the next level every couple of years. Because I actually do that. I have a tradition of giving the social media detox. And actually not only social media detox, I get technology detox. For a while, at least twice a year. and I give myself 2 weeks of traveling somewhere, I think with any job, you need some time off. If you think about it, it's a lot of information coming on. It's literally huge amount of information coming to you every single day.
As soon as you press your phone, it's
exactly
it's there.
And it's not, it comes and that's fine, right? Because you could read a book and you could get this amount of information. But it's not only that, it also brings to the surface a lot of emotions, whether you like it or not. You'd automatically compare yourself to others. You'd automatically think you're better or less than others. You'd automatically feel that your life is not good enough or your life is better. And there's a lot of, you know, ego-based feelings that will come to the surface when you're using social media. And this is like, I'm sure it's something that everyone, absolutely everyone can go through and goes through.
So you mentioned that you were like one of the first Emirati influencers.
Yes.
Do you feel like a responsibility in a sense to represent your country, or is it something you don't think about? Because you mentioned that it was at the time there was a lot of stigma, and now that that's changing, what is it like kind of like being a Emirati influencer operating on an international platform? Because you're not confined to the UAE. So
yes,
maybe for some people, they're not familiar with the UAE. They're not familiar with the culture and they come to your page.
Yes. It comes, and honestly, being an Emirati influencer, especially a female and especially from a time where this wasn't a thing, it came with a lot of pressure. And it's still, the pressure always continues because I get a lot of messages and I get a lot of brands actually working with me because they want to feel or to get the link of, you know, the international way or the international concept of things, but also giving it a layer of, you know, tradition and culture. And I've been filling that gap. And I think this has been one of the most or the strongest suits of my account, where you find an Emirati, relatively traditional lady, but she is also, you know, hopefully open-minded and, you know, out there and really a person who is with an international kind of mind. And being or filling that shoe has been a blessing, really. But it also comes with a lot of pressure. It also comes with a lot of, I wouldn't say responsibility, but it comes with a lot of consideration of how much I should, you know, be international and how much I should be traditional. And finding the balance between these two is, trust me, an everyday dilemma that I need to go through in order for me to, you know, to find the right balance and to find the right spot for me.
How would you describe your style to somebody? If somebody said, you know, describe your style in a few words, what would you say? Because I know you incorporate like a lot of local talent as well.
Yes, I think. And I would definitely say that I would say I'm the cultural girl with a twist. And there's always a twist. Like I would always wear something that doesn't really fit with the whole thing. I would rarely go into an expected outfit. There's always a twist in something that I do. And whether this twist became part of my daily style or it's something that I actually do on purpose for a certain project or for a certain photo, I am a very cultural girl, but even the way I think has a twist. A while ago, I remember, especially in the UAE, wearing a colored abaya wasn't something that is welcomed. And after that, wearing an abaya with sneakers wasn't something that is welcomed. And I remember Saudi ladies really like took a step ahead when it comes to that. So they used to wear it with sneakers and it was something that is we didn't get as Emirati culture. And being able to, you know, break into those and do both became part of me. Now half of my shoe closet are sneakers and the other half of my abayas are colored and just became part of me, you know? So there's a lot of twists that I would take just to try, but then I would be very comfortable with into integrating this into my life.
Yeah. How do you see your country as a creative hub? Because I feel like a lot of influencers in the region are based in Dubai. I think like Dubai is the yes. place to be if you're in this creative content industry.
Yes. Actually, we're lucky.
I think it's interesting because it's like you grew up there, yes. right? This is like before Instagram. I assume yes. you were born before Instagram.
Yes.
How do you see that then? Like watching your country from when you were born to now, just the changes that have happened. And I mean that in a creative sense, in yes. terms of being a creative hub.
I was always interested in, you know, growing up as a teenager, I think YouTube was there at some point, okay? And I never ever thought that I could easily go have a meeting with YouTube when I'm 25 years old. You know, it was never something that I ever imagined. Like, I remember very clearly that in my high school, I used to Google, and when internet was just there and MSN was, you know, a thing. So we used to get emails of how creative are Google offices in the US. And I remember being absolutely astonished, you know, with the concept, with. And at that moment, if you ask that girl, she would never think that you would actually have a Google office in Dubai and I could go visit and I could, you know, hold workshops there and work with Google just because it's you know, it's accessible here for me. It's been a blessing. Honestly, I always say we're very lucky to be here and to be part of something or a place where it's a hub for any creative person. I know people from, I work in Dubai Design District, and the amount of people that I meet every single day from the creative fields is crazy. And I meet people who came with absolutely nothing. I know a friend of mine who flew from Canada and came to Dubai with nothing, with absolutely nothing. He's just a creative person. And he's like, I just took my ticket and I flew here and I said, I'm gonna make it. Mashallah, he did. After so many years, he's very well known right now in the creative sector in the UAE, and everyone actually look up to him for his work. And thinking of that, it's not only a hub for people to meet, but it's also a place for people to grow. And that's the beauty of where we are right now, you know?
The beautiful thing about UAE in general, and Dubai or Abu Dhabi or anywhere in the UAE, is a lot of people call it home, even if they didn't grow up there.
True.
But it's an added element when you are Emirati, like this is your homeland.
Yeah, I get a lot of surprises. I get a lot of surprising looks regarding that. So they would always ask me, you're an Emirati? Like, really an Emirati? Like a local? And I would be, yes. It's one of the things that I absolutely enjoy proving to people. Mm-hmm. Because whether you grew up here or if you're from outside, you would always have this, you know, stereotype of, the UAE is a place for everyone, but Emiratis are, you know, seem a bit distant. And being able to be the Emirati girl in the middle of the crowd, it's been a thrilling thing to feel, you know, and it's always something, and I feel this is something for me to prove in some point, like it's cool, we're cool.
So what are your goals then now, moving forward? What do you hope to accomplish in the next 5 years?
Definitely when it comes to goals, it's always the vision that I have. So the vision I have, Tafta Khayal, is to be one of the most trusted content creating platforms and spaces for people to have in the region. The goal that I have for myself is to be more authentic and real and honest and trustworthy as a content creator and as a person.
So I'm going to ask the final question, and I always ask the same question. So what does culture mean to you?
I think on a personal level, culture means to me home. And home, not on a sense of house, but it's where the place that you feel safe, accepted, secured, and you know, celebrated for who you are. And being, maybe not every culture has that, but everyone has a responsibility to create the culture that reflects that. And I think with my Instagram or with anything that I do, I'm trying to create a culture that is a hub for creatives and that is very, you know, accepting and open-minded and loving and passionate about everything that we do.
Thank you so much, Malal, for joining us today.
Thank you. That was so much fun.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, learning a little bit more about social media in the region from a very exciting young content creator. If you'd like to follow Mathail, you can find her at Mathail, and you can find us at The Thaqafat. And don't forget to subscribe on whichever streaming service you prefer. We look forward to having you join us in our next episode, where we continue to connect to the culture. Ma'a salama.